Lecture 4, Jefferson, the Revolutionary Virginian.
In our last lecture, we looked at Jefferson as the spokesman for the American revolutionary ideal. And we saw that it was his gift with language and his ability to express the aspirations of the American people that made him an important national leader. Today, in this lecture, we're going to look at Jefferson in his own state, because Jefferson's deepest political affiliation was always with Virginia. And once independence had been declared, he rushed back to Virginia, to his native state, to participate in its revolutionary reconstruction. So we're going to look at the way Jefferson took those ideas articulated in the Summary View and the Declaration of Independence, and then tried to bring them to life in the constitutional and legal order of the Old Dominion. We're going to look at particular three topics. One, his draft of a constitution for the state of Virginia. Then we'll look at his legal reforms, known as the Report of the Committee of Revisers. And then finally, his tenure as governor of the state of Virginia. Throughout, we'll see a conflict in the Jeffersonian vision. Jefferson's thought is still maturing, and he's conflicted between, on the one hand, his belief and hope and aspiration for progress, and on the other hand, he's still, to some extent, torn by the traditions of Virginia society. Well, let's begin with the new constitution he drafts. He actually drafts it right after he leaves Philadelphia in the summer of 1776. Now, this constitution was, in fact, never adopted by Virginia. But it nonetheless is an interesting document. It reveals a lot about Jefferson's thinking. And it shows that at this moment, Jefferson's thought is still conflicted, because the document really is a combination of diverse elements. On the one hand, traditional Whig constitutional doctrines, the doctrines associated with Bolingbroke, Trenchard and Gordon, Harrington and Sidney. But there's also an element of agrarian radicalism, albeit in a mild form, but it's a form that will germinate over time and fully express itself both in Notes in the State of Virginia and then later in some of Jefferson's schemes for ward government. And there's one other element, again, which seems to contradict the first two, and that is what we'd call patriciate optimism. What do we mean by patriciate optimism or optimacy? It's essentially elitism, a belief in defending the traditions which have enabled the elite of Virginia to dominate political society. All right, let's first look at the Whig constitutionalism. In this way, in this respect at least, Jefferson's document is not that different from most of the others being proposed and adopted at the time. Like most of the state constitutions of the Revolutionary era, it creates a bicameral legislature with an assembly and a senate, and an executive that's shorn of a legislative veto, a very weak executive. And this is, again, traditional for the time. Remember, the Americans had been fighting against royal governors, so they couldn't help but see the executive as a source of oppression and the legislature as the source of liberty. The Constitution is also distinguished by liberal or Whig provisions on religious liberty, freedom of the press, the right to bear arms, and legal reforms. It states, all persons shall have full and free liberty of religious opinion, nor shall any be compelled to frequent or maintain any religious institution. And in this way, Jefferson is, in fact, ahead of his time. He states, no freeman shall be debarred the use of arms within his own lands. And again, this is an allusion to the right to bear arms, which is so importantly documented in our Constitution, in our Bill of Rights. There shall be no standing army but in times of actual war. And finally, printing presses shall be free, except so far as by commission of private injury, cause may be given of private action. So in fact, Jefferson's including many of the elements that we associate with our Bill of Rights that will only be adopted, almost 20 years later. But there's another element to Jefferson's Constitution, and that is, albeit in a somewhat moderate form, agrarian radicalism. In fact, perhaps the most radical feature of his entire scheme is an extremely broad franchise, coupled with land redistribution. Jefferson proposes distributing small lots of unoccupied land to all adult white males, thus ensuring universal white manhood suffrage, what would eventually become the goal of so-called Jacksonian democracy.